At this time, can I have our scripture reading?
Morning, church. I'll be reading Matthew 9, verse 18 to 26. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up with him and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you," and the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all the region. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Santini.
Happy Sabbath, everybody. Happy Sabbath, everybody else. Yeah. And how's everybody doing? Everybody doing all right? Everyone doing good, right?
Right. Good.
that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. So, and as Elder Collins said, my name is Adam Best, currently a student at Newbold College. And a little bit about me is that when I was younger, actually a little bit, still kind of, sometimes a little bit today, I was very sensitive. So I don't know if there's anybody here that's sensitive as well. What I mean by sensitive, I'm not necessarily talking about sensitive skin, even though, you know, my skin is a little bit sensitive, but I've got some stuff for that, some scrubs and some serums for that kind of thing. But no, when I'm talking about sensitive, it's like it wasn't very difficult, should I say, to get me upset about stuff, right? So all you'd have to do when I was younger, if you wanted to get me upset, all you'd have to do is just raise your voice at me a little bit, or maybe call me like a name. And so when I was younger, there was this one name I used to hate a lot because I used to fuss a lot. My family used to call me Mufasa, like Mufasa from Lion King. I used to hate that. But one of the worst things that you could say to me, or anybody else for that matter, I think maybe the same for you guys, is these two words that I think are really powerful, but can have a really negative impact on you. And it's the two words, "Who cares?" I don't know if anybody's ever heard that. And the reason why I think it's one of the worst things that you could tell to somebody is because we all have this inbuilt desire, this thing that I believe that's implanted by God as well, to be cared for, to be loved, and to be looked after by everybody. We all have that inbuilt craving built inside of us. And the reason why I think it's a bad thing, it was one of the worst things you can hear, is because when somebody says to you, "Who cares?" I don't know, you might be talking, you might be sharing something. They say, "Oh, who cares, man?" I think inbuilt into that is the implied answer that nobody cares, right? And that's like one of the worst things, as I said, is that you could hear. It's like, "Who cares?" Or, "Well, nobody cares for you." And sometimes, actually, you don't even need to hear those words. But sometimes, by the way that you're treated by other people, you can find yourselves experiencing the bitter reality of those words, "Who cares?" And it hurts and it's painful. And so today, what we just want to spend our time looking at is to try to answer that question, well, who does actually care about us? And so to find out about that answer, to find out who does care, I just invite you guys to turn with me to the scripture reading again, which is in Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 26. And I don't know, you guys can get it on your phones, your iPads. You know, I see a couple of people a bit old school getting the handheld version. That's cool as well. And don't worry, I'm a very fair person. I always tell to the people who have Androids, it's okay, we will wait for you. So you don't have to worry about you guys being left behind. And you have an Android, I'll speak to Pastor Bernie after. Maybe we can have a special prayer session for you, all of you guys, with the Androids, so that you can get an iPhone. But Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, and this is Matthew narrating, and he says, as he, which is Jesus, was saying these things, a ruler came, bowed low before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come lay your hands on her and she will live. And Jesus and his disciples got up and followed him. But a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, for she kept on saying to herself, if I only but just touch his cloak, I will be healed. But when Jesus turned and saw her, he said, have courage, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was healed from that hour. Now, when Jesus entered the ruler's house, he saw the flute players and the disorderly crowd. And he said, go away. She's not dead, but she's sleeping. And they began making fun of him, saying, he's dead. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went inside and gently took her by the hand. And the girl got up. And the news of this spread throughout that region. And so the title of the message today, to answer the question about who cares, is that he knows, he sees, and he cares. Now, if we go back to verse 18, we find that Jesus was having a discussion. Actually, if you look at the context, he's actually having a discussion with John's disciples, and he's having a discussion about fasting. You know, what should we fast? Should we not fast? The one should we do it? They're having a theological discussion, if you please. And the ruler comes to Jesus in the middle of this, interrupts Jesus. And obviously his name in the text is supplied, but if you compare it with the story of Mark, we find that this guy's name is Jairus. He's a ruler of a synagogue. So he's a man of pretty, you know, renown, a bit of standing, a bit of a reputation. And he comes to Jesus because he's bereaved. His daughter has just died. And he says, you know, Jesus, if you could just come and lay your hands on my daughter, she'll be made well. Now, I find this particular encounter very fascinating. And the reason why I find it fascinating is because, as I said, Jesus is in the middle of having a discussion with John's disciples. I mean, a theological discussion. He allows himself to be interrupted by this man to go and help and heal his daughter. Now, the reason why I find it fascinating is because you guys will probably agree with me, which is, as Adventists, we love a good discussion, right? Yeah, and we love a good theological discussion, we love a good debate, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's totally cool. I believe our movement was built off of that discussion, debating and wrestling with scriptures and different theories and ideas. And so I think it's great. I think it's really cool to do that. So I'm not saying that discussing is bad. However, I think that sometimes in our passion of discussing, we actually forget about the delivering. Because Jesus here demonstrates that doing theology is far greater than discussing theology. You know, delivering the distressed is better than debating doctrine. And caring for the crying is better than just carelessly conversing. James would say that pure and undefiled religion is really about how you treat one another. It's really about having that care for them. So in other words, if you want to know, like, if you're going to have a hierarchy of important stuff in Christianity, if you want to know what really is important about Christianity, it's really just about how you treat other people. That's what Jesus is demonstrating here, because he's actually stopping having this theological discussion, and he goes to help this bereaved father. He sees the suffering of this man. He probably knows the pain and anguish he must be feeling, and he cares enough to take action because he knows, he sees, and he cares. But anyway, as Jesus goes on his way, the story progresses, as we saw in the text, is that a woman comes who's been suffering with this disease called a hemorrhage for about 12 years. Now, just put simply, this disease is really just caused when one of your blood vessels just burst and then it just continues a lot of bleeding. Sometimes, you know, it's not really like fatal. Like most of you have probably had some sort of that. We just call it a nosebleed today. But this is obviously going on for 12 years, so this is like really, really bad. And if she's suffering with it for 12 years, and obviously Mark, in his version of the story, makes it clear that if she's been suffering it for so long, she's going to doctor, to physician, to, you know, health expert for the last 12 years, spent all of her money on the doctors. And I want you to imagine that. Like, imagine, you know, I don't know if any of you guys have ever been to the hospital, just waiting for an appointment. You're just sitting there, just waiting, hoping that someone's going to be able to help you with your problem. And then they call your name, and then you go in and you sit down and say, sorry, there's nothing we can do. So, but anyway, let me refer you to this doctor I know down the road. And then you go to that doctor, and then she says, oh, I can't really do anything to help you either. Let me see if I could call one of this expert. And then she calls this other expert, and then he says, oh, you know, I can't really help you. I'm not really sure what to do. And she's going to all of these different doctors, families recommending all of these, like, you know, supplements maybe, all of these medications. But nothing seems to be working. She's suffering this for 12 years. But on top of that, according to the law of Moses, she would have had to have left her house, left her city, left her village. She probably would have to have been on the outskirts somewhere. And not only would she have done that, but anytime she comes in close contact with somebody, she would have to be shouting, unclean, unclean, to warn people of her presence and her status. And if to make matters even worse, in those days, they believed that if you had a sickness, especially if it's something that you've been suffering for 12 years, it's probably because you've done something wrong and you're underneath God's curse. And so the reason why you're not getting healed is because you've done something to upset God, and he is just cursing you with this sickness and illness. So you can see the dire and the desperate situation that she's in. So now I want you to kind of see the picture that Matthew's painting here. Right, so we have this woman, right, who is ostracized, separated, excluded from her society and from her family as well. Everywhere she goes, she's reminded of her unwanted identity of being unclean. And let's face it, if she has to shout that herself, at some level, she's probably internalized that. Because if you're calling yourself unclean every single day for 12 years, you're probably going to start to believe that. So not only is she ostracized, separated from her family, not only is she reminded everywhere she goes of her uncleanness, of her disease, she's spent all of her money, she's broke, she has nothing, but on top of all of this, she is under God's curse, seemingly. And the reason why Matthew paints a picture like this is because it sets us up for what's going to come next. Because what Jesus says to her, really, I think it's amazing. It's breathtaking, right? Because Jesus says, take heart, you know, be of good cheer. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has saved you. Now, the reason why I find this such a beautiful encounter is because if you think about it, she starts off the story as an unclean, ostracized, broke, cursed woman, but then she leaves as an honorable, blessed, and favored daughter of God. She starts off by being defined by her disease and characterized by God's curse, but she leaves being delivered from her disease and commended for her crazy faith. Jesus gives her a completely new identity. And I wonder, like, how true that is of us as well. It's like, sometimes, like the woman, we can be, or the world will be defining us by our problems, by the stuff that we've done wrong, by the stuff that doesn't make us good. Oh, you know, he's the guy who struggles with this, or he's the guy who's got their addictions. Or this is the lady, you know, who's had that child out of wedlock. Or this is the guy, this is the girl, you fit in the blank. But even though the world might define us by what we do, Jesus completely flips that. Jesus doesn't define us by what we do, but he actually defines us by what we can become. And that's what Jesus wants to do. What was true of the woman can be true for us as well, which is, yes, we might be defined by what we've done before, according to the world, but Jesus is to give us that new identity. And if you also think about this as well, sometimes it might not even be the world that's defining you, a bit like the women maybe. Maybe like we've brought on all of these issues by how we speak to ourselves. Because I think sometimes the way we speak to ourselves, we can sometimes be our biggest enemy, you know, how we speak to ourselves. But Jesus is reminding us here that when the world sees a worthless woman, Jesus sees a devoted daughter. That's the difference. Don't let anybody sway you from how God sees you. that's really what Jesus wants us to, you know, learn from that. But also, I also think that the woman should be commended by how she was actually talking to herself, because the text actually says that she kept on saying to herself, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Now, that's really fascinating, because there was no Bible verse for that. There was no scriptural reference. Nothing like that had ever happened before. But the miracle, I actually believe the miracle was really her changing how she was thinking about herself. Because she was actually saying to herself that I will be healed. The text says she kept on saying it. So this is like something that she kept on doing. That if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch him, if I could just touch him, if I could just touch him, I will be healed. And I think that this is a lesson for us as well, that when we're going through things and while we're going through struggles or whatever it might be, whilst it's good to get help from people, and I would always recommend that, I think a lot of it also, we also got to change how we speak to ourselves. We've also got to really be speaking more positively about ourselves, be more optimistic about ourselves too. So like we said, if you find yourself being surrounded by a sea of negativity from others or maybe yourself, then I want to steal Jesus' words and say, take heart, be encouraged, be optimistic, because he knows, he sees, and he cares. However, like we can't forget about Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. Because yes, it's great that Jesus healed this woman, but you know, Jesus has been interrupted again. He's been somewhat, you could say, diverted and distracted from his original intention of what he was actually supposed to be doing. You know, it's great that the woman's healed. It's great that, you know, she's got her miracle. But then Jairus is probably thinking, well, hang on, what about me? Like, the only reason why the woman got healed is because you are, you know, on your way to help me. So, Jesus, why are you spending the time with her? What about me? You know, and I think that sometimes sometimes the experience that Jairus had before Jesus healed his daughter, because obviously we know how the story ends, so we know that it ends well for him. We know that that his daughter is raised to life. But think about how he would have been feeling in that moment. You know, you have so much faith in God that, you know, your daughter is dead and you go to Jesus and you say, you know, all you need to do is just lay your hands on her and she will be healed. You have so much faith that you just travel all of that way to go and get him. You know, you've heard all of the stories about how Jesus has healed all of these people. You've heard the stories about how he's fed the 5,000, how he's calmed the storm. He literally just says to the storm, just be quiet, and the storm stops. And then you're just thinking like, hang on a second. I had the faith and I believed that Jesus was going to do this. He's even healed someone else. When is my miracle going to come? When is it going to be like my turn? I don't know how many of you might even feel like that. You're seeing other people around you being blessed, see other people, God coming through for them. And you're thinking to yourself, well, hang on a second. What's going on? You know, Jesus, I had as much faith as this lady. In fact, she didn't even know where to find you. I mean, I was the one, I left my house and came and found you because I had all of this faith in you. So what happened? What's going to happen to me? And what I would say is this, is that what is true of the ruler, I think, is also true of us, was because while he was in that moment, remember that Jesus, while he still hadn't healed his daughter yet, he was still on his way. And Jesus was on his way because he knows, he sees, and he cares. And why I say that is because I don't sure what you're going through today. I don't know, maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe, you know, like Jairus, you maybe you want God to heal somebody in your family or a close friend. You're asking God for a specific miracle and you're just wondering, when is it going to be my turn? But I think that the good news of the gospel, I think the good news that Jesus is displaying is that he is on his way. And when I say he's on his way, sometimes it might mean that Jesus might not, you know, you might not get the miracle you're looking for in this lifetime. But the fact still remains is that Jesus is still on his way. You know, as the Bible says, the Son of Man is coming with healing in his wings. You know, there's that, what's that hymn, that Adventist hymn? It says, we have this hope that burns within our hearts, hope in the coming of the Lord. We have this faith that Christ alone imparts, faith in the promise of his word. Then we believe the time is near when the nations far and near shall rise and shout and sing, hallelujah, Christ is King. And he's on his way.
Amen.
He's on his way. And he's on his way because he knows, he sees, and he cares. He knows, he sees, and he cares. And I love the way how the passage actually closes. It says that, I just remind myself, it said, a news of this spread all the way throughout the region. And I love that. And so it's my prayer that we actually do the same, that the news of God's love, his compassion, his care for others can spread throughout the world, and that we can be beacons of that light, that we can go to each other, go to people in school, go to people at work, go to wherever God takes us, spread the good news of Jesus, that he knows, he sees, and he cares. Amen.